Now, Jeffrey Brown continues his series with U.S. Poet Laureate Natasha Trethewey called Where Poetry Lives, taking us to places where poetry and literature connect to everyday life. In past stories, they visited a program for Alzheimer's patients in New York and one in Detroit that encourages young students to write about themselves and their city. Tonight, a different kind of connection through the practice of medicine and healing.
Outside Boston's Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital on a recent frigid morning, Natasha Trethewey met up with a former poetry student of hers from Emory University.
Do you remember her as a teacher?
Of course I do.
And Natasha remembers Sam, Samyukta Malangi, fondly as well.
I know. But now you get to see her as a budding a doctor-to-be.
Huh? Yeah, and she looks like the best, too. Seeing her talk about not only the work of being a physician, but also how poetry and language has a role in that.
No, he's not great.
Sam is a fourth-year student at Harvard Medical School, but poetry is still a big part of her life.
Steal my stethoscope back here.
Now with a new mentor who believes poetry can benefit every doctor's education and work, Rafael Campo.
I agree, Sam, totally clear.
Doctor, professor, and a highly regarded poet. His sixth volume, just published, is titled Alternative Medicine.
Someone is dying alone in the night. The hospital hums like a consciousness. I see their faces where others see blight. The doctors make their rounds like satellites, impossible to fathom distances. Someone is dying alone under lights.
Poetry is in every encounter with my patients, I think. Healing, really, in a very profound way, is about poetry. And if we do anything when we're with our patients, we're really, I think, immersing ourselves in their stories, really hearing their voices in a profound way. And certainly that's what a poem, I think, does.
Does anyone know either Frank O'Hara's story or...
Campo worries that something important has been lost in medicine and medical education today, a humanity that he finds in poetry. To that end, he leads a weekly reading and writing workshop for medical students and residents.
So facts function in that way, too.
And on the night we joined, the group explored one of Campo's central themes, the occasional disconnect between medical facts and human truths.
Sometimes facts become all-consuming in our work as docs, and we may risk losing sight of some of the truths of the experience of illness, particularly from the perspective of our patients.
It's interesting to think about how there was a room full of surgeons who perceived one truth from this case, and the family wanted everything done. And they were living with a different truth, right, which is that this is their family member. They want any day possible extra with this person.
Campo thinks medical training focuses too much on distancing the doctor from his or her patients.
For the next hour...
And poems, like one he brought for his students to read, Marilyn Hacker's Cancer Winter, can help close that gap.
The hovering swarm has nothing to forgive. Your voice petitions the indifferent night. I don't know how to die yet. Let me live.
There is confrontation, really, with mortality. How does the poem make that happen?
We have this universal experience of mortality, and the speaker sort of invites us to grapple with it.
The way she shows us the landscape transformed through the lens of a diagnosis. To know this now means you see... ruin.
Third-year resident Andrea Schwartz was one of the workshop regulars who read her own poetry.
The whiteness of her mother's knuckles while we told her we couldn't promise a cure. After the call, I imagined the translator hanging up his receiver into the silence of his office, unable to break beyond his role to offer condolence or hope.
The next day, Natasha and her former student compared notes.
You know, one of the things we also talk about is the way that poetry connects us to the experience of other human beings. Mm-hmm. And I thought I saw that in wonderful detail in some of the poems that we read in the workshop last night.
I was thinking about this yesterday as well, in the sense that outside of writing itself, I think there's no other profession other than medicine that produces as many writers as it does. And I think it's because there's just so much power, I think, in physicians and patients interacting when patients are at their most vulnerable and at their most human.
is talk about patients.
Natasha and I, of course, are typically in that patient role when we meet doctors, and this was a rare look behind the medical curtain.
When I heard Dr. Campo talking yesterday about taking histories from patients and what's necessary to hear, I thought about language and the way that we use language in poetry and to try to get to something precise, to try to find a way to describe what is happening inside the body through the kind of precise language. It's not just the scale of pain that they keep talking about, but also using metaphor to be as precise as possible about what we're feeling as patients. If I could describe the pain metaphorically, like, you know, being hit by a truck or having a knife go into my abdomen.
That's interesting. You're hearing them talk about different ways of using language. That's like poetry.
That's what poets do.
Not everyone's convinced that's what doctors should do, though.
I saw it in an essay you wrote where you said it was hard to admit to other doctors that you were a poet.
That's right. Yes, I sort of had to come out as a poet. It was difficult. I was afraid of how people might judge me, actually, and how my colleagues might perceive me. You know, another ethos in the medical profession, as many people know, is this sense that, you know, medicine is all-consuming and that we must always put the clinical emergency first.
I'm not writing a sonnet at that moment.
But, you know, that often that kind of an intervention or that kind of an interaction results, if it's happening in the hospital, very regrettably, sadly, results in a bad outcome. The family is sitting by the bedside. The patient hasn't survived the arrhythmia. Don't we still have a role as healers there? Obesity writ large no more. Alzheimer's forgotten. We could live carefree again.
In a poem titled Health, Campo writes of the desire to live forever in a world made painless by our incurable joy. He says he'll continue mentoring students, helping patients, and writing poems. His own brand of alternative medicine.
We have more of Rafael Campo's poetry on our Art Beat page, as well as Jeff's conversation with three medical students about the role poetry plays in their lives. And for students and teachers, we've posted a lesson plan on our website that helps young people find poetry in their lives and use it to navigate difficult relationships and stressful situations like visiting the doctor.